I actually get the privilege of presenting now after all that. And I'm excited about it because most people see there is a starting place, and then you see people up on stage. You see the corporate team, you see Elizabeth, you see Frank, and you know all the people training, and feel they're like so good. They're like amazing, aren't they? They are so good. But honestly, I don't know all of them when they started, but just since I've known them, they've grown a lot. You should see them back when they started. They were rough around the edges. They were trying to figure this out. They were hammering out the hours. They were making mistakes. They were having all kinds of issues. I want to talk to you about objections and posture and handling an appointment and some things that will help accelerate this building process for you. Most of you already know in your head, in order for you to make progress in the business, you've got to show the plan, right? You've got to move product. You have to get people to events. But somewhere in there, you come up against these little roadblocks. Would you agree? And you're thinking, well, maybe I don't know enough. And so you come up and you have this appointment and someone gives you a flat out, no, not doing it. And you're like, oh, I guess I don't know enough, right? I guess I need to be better. And so you back up and you stop. And the reality is you've only talked to one or two people. The average person, when they get started, if they get three no's in a row when they're brand new, they're going to stop. And so what we have to do is keep that in mind with our new people and even yourself, that this is going to be a learning process. Would you believe that not everybody is going to get started with you? So why does it bother you so much when someone doesn't get started? It's just the reality of the way the business works. All right, so here's what I want you to think about. You're going out to appointments. You're talking to people. What I try to teach and try to watch for within the organization I'm working with or within the teams I'm building is I start to look for certain patterns of behavior that go on. Something I learned years ago when I first came out of to the Florida area, I worked in an emotional help unit and drug and alcohol rehab place. I had no training in that. I still don't. didn't last long. But I remember one of the counselors there, one of the therapists that I was talking with suggested that. Let me get to these slides here. There it is. That the response that you receive is the one you solicit. Now think about it. If you don't believe that's true, how many in here are married or in a relationship? Have you ever done something that you know is going to solicit a certain response? In your mind, when you look back, did you have to apologize for the way that you approached that person? All right. Getting a no is not a problem. If you get the same type of no every single time, you may want to stop and evaluate what you are doing and make that adjustment. I recommend that for every appointment you have, that you evaluate it from what went great to what could I have eliminated, right? What could I do more of that's good and less of that's bad? I'm a guy who likes to look at stuff from multiple angles, right? And I was thinking the other day about this company, and I was thinking about the leadership, and I was thinking about Dennis, how he got started in the business, and you know, when I read scripture, I try to think about individuals. What were they thinking? What was their expression? How did they respond? I try to put myself in that environment. So with Mark in America, when I think of JR when he first got started, I try to go back to that very beginning when there was no literature and there was no product and there was no history. There was no, we have a proven plan, proved, right? We're back when those days. And I think about how did JR pull that off? Do you think he ran up against any obstacles, objections? I mean, think about this. I mean, JR is postured to the hilt, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but he's not that imposing of a physical figure, you know? I mean, honestly, you know? He has fight in him, don't get me wrong. He's scrappy, he'll kick your ass if you get in a fight with him. But, you know, when you see him, he's a little guy. And back when I met him, he had big hair. And, you know, he was like, you know, intense and working. But he went out and he had this belief, this internal drive about him. And I think back to him talking to, I don't know how many people before he got to you, but think of these quality people that he went down the line with and talked to and got, no, 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 right? But he had this drive about him. He had this emotional IQ about him and this passion and belief of how he did stuff. I've always had to shift in my head when I want to grow to thinking of building an organization, not trying to sponsor a person. So as I build the organization, my thought is 300 people in my group, not one. So if I have one and I'm building to 300, my goal is to, they're not going to make or break it anyway. How do I get past them? All right. So when I'm sitting in an appointment, I know there are certain things that's going to happen that'll allow me to move somebody forward. There are certain things that prevent me from moving someone forward. And I want to talk about a couple of those right now. First of all, when you're showing the business plan and when you're prospecting, when you're meeting someone, the one thing that is the major shifter that causes things to work and not work is when they trust you. Have you ever been in an appointment and you can just tell it's not going well? Right? You're trying to show, Shane and I have been working together. He's like, yeah, I've been there. Most of you probably were very difficult when someone showed you the plan. Do you ever relate back to how kind of difficulty you gave the guy who gave you the business? Most of you are probably a pain. I mean, you really, you know, somehow were resistant and didn't say no the first time and gave objections. And I mean, my own kids didn't get started until just recently, right? I mean, everybody has their little objections. But during the plan, when you're talking to somebody, the one thing that you have to be able to do in order for them to lower the guard, to be open to receive information, is you have to be able to build trust. So if I'm talking to someone and I'm going through the details and I'm getting like, well, I'm busy and I got to go, my kids, I'll close stuff up. I'll just shut everything back up and I'll stop and just spend time getting to know them more. Right? Because if I can get to know them and understand them better, then all of a sudden I'm trying to do something that'll meet their needs versus help me accomplish my goal. Because if I help them meet their needs, my goal is going to be taken care of. Does that make sense? All right. Don't be scared to take it away from people. Don't be scared about that. That's to your advantage. We have what they need. They cannot get what we have anywhere else. You know, when David got started, my younger brother, he was a guy who thought he was the only one in the world that was broke. Do you ever feel like that? You see other people, you're going to call them, but you go, oh, they already drive a nice car, and they already have a nice house, and they have a nice life, a nice wife, nice kids, nice church, nice, right? You kind of look at them, everything's so nice, and you think, I must be the only one that's really dying underneath the weight of debt and the insecurities of life, and, you know, you just feel like you're just the guy that's not... Right, you're the only one. Do you ever watch the marketing plan? What's it say about the percentage of people who are broke at retirement? All right, so when you walk into an appointment, no matter what their posture, what their financial state, where they are, you need to walk in with that intellectual knowledge at least that you have something that they cannot get anywhere else. It is in our hands and our ability to do that. Sometimes I'll be sitting talking to someone and they're like trying to posture me, you know, and they're trying to like, well, you know, I'm already successful. I got this title. And, you know, I go, well, just, okay, let's stop. Let me just ask you, what is it that's your plan to get six-figure income that'll pay you whether you work or not? If you don't like what I'm doing, I'm open. I love making money. Why don't you share your game plan? It's a very interesting transition because all of a sudden they have to now be in charge of their own life and share with you. So it's no longer that tug of war that goes on. All right, let's talk about some things not to say. Stay away from me toos. You ever be like that? My mom, bless her heart, is coming to the end of her life, but she's made so many memorable parts of my world. And one of the things she did, though, is she was a great me too. She's had more experiences and more things go on. So you're telling a story, and you know what she says? Me too. I mean, it could be that you're driving a car down the highway and all of a sudden in the middle of Florida, you hit a patch of ice and a truck peers out of nowhere and, you know, you're spinning around out of control and you're waving at the people while you go by and you're eating a sandwich and you're like, wow, this is cool. Oh, no, I'm going to die. And you're going down the highway and you're done with the story and you're like, oh, can you believe that? She goes, me too. I've had the same thing, right? She is like a piece of work for sure. It's a lot of fun. So you guys have this momentum. You get into the appointment and you finally get them talking about stuff. And all of a sudden they share a story with you. And instead of listening to that, you have to get into your own little world, right? And talk about that. And that is a turnoff. That's a door closer. You finally get people sharing and expressing. Okay, I'm going to give you what I do. I don't know whether you can do it. I think you can if you're just conscious a little bit. I learned a long time ago that when someone tells a story, it creates a response in you emotionally, right? So if you want to know what they're dealing with, listen to the emotional response you have to the story they're talking about. When you do that, you're going to be able to quickly identify what it is they are dealing with so you can relate back to them on an appropriate level. So I've had people tell me stories, and all of a sudden I'll make, oh, that's funny, I make a joke about it, and I realize, you know, they had a loss in the family or a bankruptcy or something, and I misinterpret the story. If I just slowed myself down and made it about them, I could have moved much further along with it as an example. All right, posturing is everything when handling objections. Wouldn't you agree? Again, I'll go back to my younger brother because it's such an amazing story. When he was 23 years old, he lived in Colorado, had no support system, no one showing him the plan. He pretty much kind of went out and took his knocks himself. And he was getting beat up every day. We'd be on the phone at night. It was 2 hours different, so he'd call me at 10 o'clock his time when he was done with appointments, midnight my time. And we would go through three-way calls and do all this different stuff. And he was just really getting his head kicked in on every single appointment and having this terrible time. I go, David, sometime you're going to have to get in a fist fight. I mean, honestly, have you guys ever been in a fist fight? Yes. You need to get ready. You know, when you have the one that goes, yes, and I'm ready right now, bring it on. You know, you got a problem in the audience. Well, let me tell you this. You have to get in a fist fight to make this business work. And I'm not talking about a literal fist fight, Cam. I'm talking about this emotional point where you're just not going to back up anymore. That you have this confidence about you that this is going to work. I'm going to make it work, right? I'm going to show you how it works. If you choose to do it, I'm all for it. If not, good luck, right? And it's your life. You are fighting for your future. And most of you walk into these appointments and you're allowing people to dictate what direction you go in life, how your future is going to be, what your income is going to be. And you back off and go, well, you know, I guess this really doesn't work. They told me it didn't work. Right? And you have this emotion about you that just allows you to be bullied. They take your lunch money on every appointment, you know? So here's David. So we had this conversation, and we were always like, he was so insecure about things. I mean, you see now, you think, oh, he's so postured. He's got all these YouTube clips and all this great training, and let me tell you how to win every appointment and, you know, all this great stuff. Well, I tell you, the turning point for him, he made no money. He was working for the guys who owned the company. He was washing cars and hanging clothes and making phone calls and waiting tables. That was his world, right? So he finally gets this appointment with the physician to talk about the business plan. Over his lunch break. He only had a short time. He gets the physician there. The physician's sitting there, well-established, profitable, great status in the community. David's sitting there with, back then we didn't have all our support material, so most of it was mimeographed or Xeroxed or whatever you want to call it, right? All together, ink put together, and he's sitting down and starts to draw out what's going on. In the middle of the plan, the doctor stands up, what does he say? He pushes the stuff aside, indignant. He says, I cannot believe you dare take my time during the day to sit down at a table and waste my time showing me this. David, for the first time ever, stood up, leaned across the table. He says, look, what I do is important. What you do is no better than what I do. When's the last time you helped someone make six figure? When's the last time you set someone free? You're going to be working your job and I'm going to be free. Right? Yeah. And I was like, he was telling me that on the phone, and you could see he was shaking, right? You could hear in his voice, he was telling the story, and all the emotion were coming back out, and I was like, oh, I'm so proud of you. I mean, don't you want to go to battle with people that are going to stand for what's going on? Do you think JR has ever been in a fight over this? Have you guys ever fought? JR will take it to the street. He literally laughs at anybody who says, this will not work. And your posture, the way you approach it, is so critical. All right, so let's back up. Most of you don't have that posture because you don't have the belief in yourself. You don't have the belief in the business plan. You don't have the belief in the product. You don't have belief in the system. If you had that, you'd be invincible. You'd be knocking down doors. You'd be grabbing people in the elevator. You'd be interacting with people all the time. If you want to have better posture, you have to be very clear on why you're doing this. That has to be very critically important. That's one side of it. The second part is you have to feed that all the time. You have to feed it with the books you read. You have to get on a regular diet of audios. You have to, almost said tapes, just to, I'm clearing that up in my head, right? You have to start feeding that. I look at Colton, who's now a supervisor, for him and Michaela. He just turned 23. He's going to be a national here in the next few months, maybe less. And I'm looking at his diet of what he does educationally, and every single book we've asked him to read, and David's asked, he's engulfed it. The book called GoPro with Eric Worre, like that book. That's been around, people reading it. You know, his dad said to read it. He took it the first month and read it 16 times. Not once, 16. He read it first. He read it through, made notes. He started teaching parts of it. He read it again, and he kept going through it and going through it to where now when you hear him talk, it sounds like he wrote it, right? And it's a list of books. And his learning curve of how he's fed his brain and fed his heart and fed his mind is only matched by how he's taken that information and implemented. It's a two-edged sword that people have to do. All right, let me give you a few tips here for handling objections. Number one, be clear and upfront about what you expect. When you go into an appointment, let them know what to expect. Like when I set an appointment, I go, you're going to want to bring with you. And I usually have a notepad to take some notes, right? Your calendar, bring a calendar, we can talk about it. Okay, those are a couple things I want them to bring. I bring things that will support that appointment, and I let people know that. I let them know how long something's going to be. When you're building trust and set expectations and you follow through on those, that moves people forward. That gives you an opportunity to have to be heard. When I go to a home business presentation, I let them know what to expect, okay? I let them know the environment and how it works. When I take people to a UBP, I usually say, listen, you're going to be a room of other entrepreneurial people, business-minded. We're just gathering together. I don't make it sound like a formal meeting. You're going to get here, and right? We're just all getting together to look at an idea. You know, we're going to be able to talk about it. I learned this from Elizabeth. When you go to the meeting, we're going to be very busy. Why don't we go ahead and book the follow-up now? We really want you to take a look at this 3, 4, 5 times before you make a decision about it. And I book those appointments in front that allows their mind to be open to continue looking. As an example, okay? I want them to know this is going to be a process. This is something that we're going to do for a long time together. Next thing, I recognize and create the proper environment. People that are in my environment very long know when, like when I go to a restaurant, I scope it out. I look for things that would prevent them from listening to me. Most people are ADD these days, it seems like, doesn't it? Yeah. Before it was a diagnosed thing, but people are impatient. They have their phone. They're looking at stuff going by. Someone drops a glass. You know, if a car goes by, a beautiful woman walks by, a handsome guy walks by. It's the beautiful woman that gets my attention, by the way. It's like, right? But they go by. So here you are sitting here. So I get there early to the appointment because I want to create the right environment. So some of the things I do, I try to sit in the restaurant away from traffic, away from people. And I'm going to find a place in the restaurant where there is a wall behind me. And I'm going to sit there so when they look at me, if they're not looking at me, all they see is a picture of the ocean on the wall or something, right? That's what they see. I'm going to get away from the kitchen where stuff's coming in and out. I'm going to tell the help there when I get there, I go, listen, I'm at a business appointment. Once you get us our stuff to drink, unless I call you back over, just leave us alone. Okay, and I'll call you back over. When I sit down, I'm on time. I shake hands with them. I look them in the eye. I talk to them about what's going on. And then what I do is I listen. The content of what someone deals with almost inevitably every single time is within the first sentence of their comment to you when you meet them. As weird as that sounds, you may not even recognize it, but they will talk about kind of where they are in life at their initial offering. And if you take time to listen to that, you're going to be able to start getting insight of how better to communicate with them. We talked about building the trust. The next thing is work with a sense of urgency. Most of you don't have posture. Most of you get objections because you're after one person and they know it. Okay, we're in Daytona Beach. Let's say I knew how to get to Miami better than anyone in this room. I was the expert at it. I knew the stops. I knew the mile markers. I knew where you could take, you know, bathroom breaks. I knew where the best food was. I knew where you could get a little sightseeing. I knew the fastest route to avoid traffic. I knew the time of day. I knew everything. And so I go out going, hey, I'm going to Miami. You want to go? And the person's like, no. I want to go to Charlotte. Are you kidding? I'm going this way. You with me? So now what happens is you find someone who has no intention of going that direction, and you spend all of your energy and all of your time trying to bend them to come back and go to Miami. If you want to avoid objections, talk to people that are ready, right? Go through the people. Go through the people. Go through the people. It's a sorting business. Go through the people. When you go through the people, it takes that stench of desperation off you. It takes the aspect of you have lots of people to talk to. You're going to make it happen regardless. Keep your calendar full. You know, Elizabeth talks about showing the planner, getting a hold and talking to 20 people a day. Have you ever tried doing that? You have? I have. I've got to 16 a couple times. But what happens is you get so good at talking, the creative energy starts flowing. You're setting so many appointments. You now have a problem where there are so many people to talk to, so many people to follow up with, so many people interested, you don't know what to do with them. Increase the number, increase the attitude, increase that urgency that you have to get there quick. If you want to go quick in the business, you have to think urgent. Put a deadline on it. Some of you have been in the business for I don't know how many years, you know, and you've not made your money. Some of you are not even activated yet. Some of you don't even have a list to start that process. There's no urgency with it. You're just kind of happy to be around or unclear of what to do. It's a moment like the weekend here where it's time for you to let that door open to allow you to get started. And I'm not talking about physically started, I'm talking about emotionally started. And there's a big difference between your sign-up date and your start date. And this weekend can be your start date. And if it's your start date, how you approach people and the number you talk to, the results will be staggering. You will have, you cut. In the appointments, in their life, focus on their why, their goals, their value system, the things that they want to do. How many of you, for even the people you've brought in the business, how many of you are very clear about what they want in the business? As easy as that sounds, it's not as easy. If it was, most of you probably would be further. Most of you may not even have your own goal statement done. Don't you think it would make sense if you expect to figure out someone else and help them reach their goals that you should start with that yourself? It's your future. It's your life. Why not have some fun? What if you had no risk of losing and only to gain? If money were no object, what would you do next week? How would you live? What would you think? What would you say to people? Who would you help? It makes a big difference. When you get an objection, clarify it with a question. All right. I'm assuming that every objection is really a question that needs answered. I'm assuming I may not understand what the clarification point is. I mean, the objection is, so I try to clarify that. If someone says, I don't have time, as an example, I may then get into the point of what that means to them. If you had more time, what you do with it? Sometimes I ask them when people go, I don't have money, I don't have time, I go, well, when was the last time you had time? When was the last time you had money? When was the last time your life looked like it was going to go the way you want it to go? and doing what you're doing, how long will it be till it actually happens for you? You start asking questions. You start looking at ways to move people forward. It makes a big difference. Years ago, this was me. I had a shift in my posture, a shift in my belief to where if someone doesn't want to do this, that is really their problem. Not an expense to me, that's an expense to their future. And so I go pretty much into appointments assuming that our company up front figured out all the things that are gonna go wrong. Right? What goes wrong in a business? What would you say people fell at because of business? Not enough money, not enough time, right? They don't have a business or a plan to follow, they don't have product or service, etc. So here's pretty much what I do. When someone says, man, I just don't have the ability to do this right now. I just don't have the time. I go, well, you know, Mark and America knew going in that most people didn't have the time. They already understood that. That's why they devised a plan where you can put in part-time effort, make full-time money. We can leverage our time by doing multiple things at the same time. All right? Okay, so let's look at the next one. You know, to me, it looks like one of those things. You're all like, oh, God, I don't want to deal with that issue. That's like, you're going to the appointment, go, please don't say it's a pyramid. Please don't say it's a pyramid. Please don't say it looks like a multi-level. Please, please, please. You know, I don't know what to do because it kind of does in my head, right? It kind of feels like it. What am I going to do, you know? And all of a sudden you have this little panic attack and you're exposed, you know? Mark and America knew going in that network marketing, even though it's been a fabulous way to make money, never really overcame certain problems. We put a system in place that's never been done before that allows us as unfranchise owner to leverage the fastest growing trend in the world today, and that's online shopping, right? As an example. All right, so that's what you do. So you put that's why in the back of it, and then what's the key to this whole thing? What's the key part to this whole thing? At the end of it, the posture is exactly right, and you're going to follow it up with a question. It could be, does that make sense? It could be, can you see how that would fit into making the goals and dreams you have come true? Do you shop online? Okay, as we're talking, there might be more people that have that same question. Who else do you know that's worried about one of those things not working? I bet you know lots of people, don't you, that are scared of getting involved. If it made sense to them, and it could be profitable to you, would you be open to have them evaluate it? And so then I do this step. When I'm done going through the appointment, I'm looking to get the next step. And here's what I teach new people about approaching. Again, the objection, I don't know anybody, I don't know how to call people. Here's what I teach them to do. I go, all right, we're gonna have some people evaluate this. We come to that conclusion. Here's what I want you to say, and this is it. I want you to say, call your friend if he doesn't want me to call them. Call your friend and go, hey, Bob, this is Larry. Listen, I'm looking at a business idea that looks like we could be really profitable. And I trust the guys talking to me. I need your help, though. Would you put some eyes on it to see if you see what I see? I can't really explain it, don't understand it, but I could really use your help. Simple, right? Looks like a business plan to make some money. I trust the people. Would you help me out and put some eyes on it? Good enough, right? Pretty simple stuff. Yeah, it's something that has saved me a lot of time because here in the appointment when I'm talking to people, once I get the head shaking and the yes going, by the way, did you know the marketing plan is set up that you're not trying to close them on the marketing plan? You're trying to close them on each step of the marketing plan, right? You're trying to close them on, can you see this as a credible company, right? The business bureau, Better Business Bureau, right? The financials, the product, the 2 to 3 year versus 45 year plan, the horizontal versus vertical. If I get yeses and confirmation, that part is sold. I can set that aside. Now all I have to deal with is the last part of it. Zig Ziglar used to talk about when I have a $1,000 sell to make and someone comes up and goes, I only have $900. That's all I can afford to spend on this. He goes, that sell is no longer $1,000. It's now a $100 sell. And that's what you focus on. So when you're going through the plan, what you're looking for is to get agreement on these steps. Stop. Make sure they're in agreement before you move on. Don't go, I got to show the numbers right through everything else. Okay, I got the numbers. Oh, they didn't understand anything. They weren't interested. They said it looked like one of those things. Right? Oh, duh, no wonder. All right, so you get agreement. Once I get agreement, and my agreement I'm looking for at this plan is, did I get a name from them, ability to move forward? Once I get that, I stop and go, great, let's call them. And they go, call them now? I go, listen, I know your time's valuable, mine's valuable. Instead of you sitting through this and making you sit through it again with them, let's just do it together. And I just keep going until I finally get them to a home business presentation to do it all at one time. Yeah, so, all right. Let me wrap this up. We got a big day ahead of us. We got lots of fun stuff to do. Anything that you do in the business that you're not succeeding at is simply a skill and a posture attitude issue. Identify what that is and begin feeding that process to overcome those two things. Appreciate you guys. We will talk more later.